Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Big day in the Berg here and in St. Vincent College in La Trobe. Players report. I half joked it's like a holiday in this town when the Steelers report. And then
it's a holiday in La Trobe.
It is. Yeah, we're going to talk more about the impact that the team and the organization has. And for those that don't know, there are now very few teams, I believe five left, that have a camp open to their fans. All the rest just do their training at their facility with no access to fans. So
you know,
this is
football
still unique.
Coaches, they want total control.
Right.
I mean, they're just freaks about that. And it's nice that the Steelers are among the teams that still do it, interacting with the fans. It's a big deal.
And the Rooney family has committed, even through COVID, all the challenges of that. Hey, we're coming back, because they only missed that one, you know, that one year, and it was surreal for everybody. But we're going to talk to Mel Blount, four-time Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer. Back in the day when they went to camp, I still remember they would do a big story on this day, report day, and the players would be carrying fans because they had no AC in the dormitories.
Talk about a hot and sticky mess,
all
right?
All that has changed, right. And the passing of Ozzy Osbourne, who is a legend in the music industry and in his genre, in the heavy metal in particular, but he was one of the first reality shows that opened up their home for a real peek behind the curtain with his wife, Sharon, and two kids.
And it was a hit.
It was. It had to be put in subtitles in some cases because you didn't know what Ozzy was saying, but to see this guy who was adored by fans, the Prince of Darkness, of all things they called him, but at home and the way he acted were totally different. And thought it was fascinating. And here's how they're reporting it. CBS's Michael George.
Remembrances for heavy metal icon Ozzy Osbourne, who died at the age of 76 yesterday. His wife Sharon and children released a statement saying, "It is with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away. He was with his family and surrounded by love." In Osbourne's hometown of Birmingham, England, fans laid flowers and lit candles in tribute to the rocker known as the Prince of Darkness. CBS's Vlad Duthier looks back at his life.
Ozzy Osbourne was the man who shaped metal. With over 100 million albums sold across his six-decade career, the Prince of Darkness was the king of heavy metal, both as the lead singer of the pioneering band Black Sabbath, with hits like Paranoid, War Pigs, and Iron Man, and in his solo career with Crazy Train. The Sabbath sound was unlike anything audiences had heard. Ozzy was the voice of a new genre with dark lyrics, heavy riffs, and haunting vocals.
And what I like about Black Sabbath was the fact that we weren't a creation by some mogul.
Ozzy's antics were even more avant-garde, infamously biting the head off a bat on stage and off stage, flipping the bird in countless photos. He was well known for his drug use and causing mayhem, like throwing TVs out hotel windows and wild parties. Mama, I'm coming home. But at home, he showed a softer side. He and his wife Sharon, along with their children, opened their lives to the world in an early 2000s reality TV show.
What are you doing with my gun, Sharon? Under the bed.
He was open about his struggle with Parkinson's. Osbourne won 5 Grammys and was twice inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's like food for my soul, you know? And, you know, I've been saying I want to retire, and I'll never retire. I'll be always doing something with music. It's what I'm here for.
Still rocking at 76, just weeks ago, he performed his final show, a farewell concert with the original members of Black Sabbath in his hometown of Birmingham, England. Girl,
Osborne was really just a regular English bloke who became hugely influential in the world of rock and roll and just modern music in general. In addition to never retiring, he said even if he is remembered as the guy who bit the head off a bat, at least he'll be remembered. Vladimir Jutiev, CBS News, New York.
Yeah, an incredible concert. And he knew it would be his last. And he spoke to his fans.
This was my final performance. I have to say goodbye to the stage. I've loved all my life. I'm truly sorry I could only do this show strapped into a custom chair because my body just couldn't handle it anymore. My Parkinson's has reached stage 5. Honestly, I'm not doing well. I spent a long time preparing for this concert, afraid I wouldn't be able to finish it, afraid I'd let you down. To stay sharp, I stopped taking all painkillers. I chose pain over numbness, just so I could sing one last time with a clear voice. Music has always been my best painkiller. I didn't keep a dime from this show. Every dollar went to Parkinson's research to help others like me. And I owe everything to my wife. When I was lost in the dark, she never left my side. She held my hand until I found my way back to the spotlight. To my fans, thank you. Your cheers and your love gave me the strength to keep coming back, even when it hurt more each time. Rock and roll will never die.
Wow. Yeah, just
what a powerful, you know, for all the crazy things he's done. And in the end, he raised, you know, that last toast to the fans, to his wife who stuck with him through thick and thin.
You know, at the end, people know what they're grateful for when they come to the end of their lives. They do.
And he had opportunity to share that with
his fans. A bowl full of gratitude. It's just that entire thing is just gratitude.
Boy, and one of the takeaways for me is I chose pain over numbness. That's a really powerful statement.
But why? Because he wanted to sing with a clear voice.
Help the kids getting back to school. KDK Radio along with 93.7 The Fan, WAMO 107.3, partnering to support Pittsburgh Public School Program Stuff in Backpacks, presented by Target Freight Management. And you can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping them off in locations near Piata Italian Street Food in Robinson and the Northway Mall. Find out where else at kdkradio.com. Just a footnote on the passing of Ozzy Osbourne, and I think his reality show opened up the window behind the curtain, you know, because he was known as this dark and heavy metal and deep, you know, Prince of Darkness was his handle. However, his friends, especially in the music business, like Alice Cooper and Elton John, say Ozzy was hilarious and a court gesture and very, very funny with his friends and had a really wry sense of humor.
Do you think that the reality TV show made him an even bigger star than he was
100%. As a rock act? I didn't really follow Black Sabbath.
It was his personality that drew the attention of the group, right?
Yeah, but occasionally I would watch the reality show because it was new, it was fresh. You know, it's the first time they really let cameras all access for somebody who was famous, in this case, in the music industry. And I thought it was fascinating to see behind the scenes.
You know what I remember? And I didn't even realize that I'd ever tuned into that show. Are you guys ready? Sharon! And I just didn't realize that's where that was from.
Yeah, he used to stumble around the house and go, Sharon!
Yeah.
But I really do believe that the TV show was what made him even bigger than on an exponential. Because 100%. If you look at the coverage that his death is getting right now in the national media, it is widespread.
And international, too. From Birmingham, England, his home, where he did his final concert. Really fascinating. We talk about artificial intelligence more and more each and every day. But how about this? A company in the Netherlands just developed an AI-powered dream recorder, a dream catcher, if you will, that turns your nocturnal emotions into a short video. When you wake up, you just dictate what you have dreamed into this box that's listening and poof, it comes up with a visual representation using artificial intelligence of what it is you dreamed, kind of like a play-by-play, and then records it so that you can save it. Did you ever have odd dreams and wonder, well, what is the
100%,
meaning? 100%. You mean like daily?
Yeah, well, I went through a phase where I would have them all the time. Now, when I sleep deep, I think I just wake up the next morning like, what happened? I don't dream a thing.
Well, you don't remember those dreams.
Right.
It's funny because I'll remember dreams on the weekends when I'm sleeping longer. But during the week, with 5 or 6 hours of sleep,
it's
usually
so fast.
You don't typically remember, but there is a pattern. And I wondered if this happens to you, where you dream of trying to complete a task, but you can't complete it because you don't have all the information you need to do it.
Oh, no. I know a lot of people that have a recurring dream like that.
Yeah, that's because we're in such a in-demand business in the moment, you know? I live my life in 30 and 60 second increments.
Indeed.
And so you never get the job done. Another story I found interesting, a feud between a Maryland firefighter and a college baseball team ended up with a field of mud. The firefighter is being accused of bringing the fire truck to the field and then hosing it off where they couldn't play because of the mud. So the team had to cancel the game the same night, which the other team drove hours to come to play.
Ooh.
The fire department said, "We're sorry." Police are investigating.
You know what this reminds me of? That great scene in Bull Durham when they they turn on the sprinklers so they can have a rain out. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
In the middle of the night, they went and turned all the sprinklers on so they didn't have to play the next day.
Note to self, don't hack off a firefighter.
Right. He'll show up with a tanker and hose everything down.
We used to play these charity hockey games, and we played the firefighters once. They were so much fun. They were a blast. And it was nice for them to have an outlet like that to let off steam. And we also played, when the police played the firefighters, that was really entertaining. It's a little competitiveness.
Just a bit,
I
right?
I can tell you. All right, Larry Richard, good morning to you. And good morning to El Presidente of the Downtown Neighbors Alliance, John Ballantyne. John, good morning.
That's funny. Thank you, Larry. Good morning to you.
You are one of the most passionate people about our city, and I appreciate that. You've been working very hard, and it's been challenging in downtown. We hear a lot about what's going on, and one of the things that we hear from residents is we need a grocery store. And so I don't want to steal your thunder. Tell us how this happened and where it's going to be.
Well, it's going to be at 817 Liberty, and it's on Liberty Avenue, a few doors down from the Harris Theater. And how did it come about? Well, we have a program called Retail Recruitment, and we have two employees that work on it, and they reach out to a lot of different businesses, and with the hope that we can recruit businesses into the Golden Triangle. So we ran across this organization in Philadelphia. They own three grocery stores. They're called River Wards. And although River Wards is not the proprietor, they will be a consultant in this project. And one of their employees was a gentleman named Eric Iacone. And Eric, I was really impressed with him. Smart, smart person. CMU grad. Understood agriculture, understood produce, and we met about 4 or 5 times, and I just knew that this was the right operator for the store, and he had a desire to come back to Pittsburgh, so everything just kind of fell in place. But I shouldn't say that, because it really didn't fall in place. There's so many times this project looked dead, but we all, you know, everybody involved just kept working at it to make it happen. If I could, you know, Rugby Realty, they made it happen. They gave them a great rental price to make this work, to make the numbers work. And it fell into place, and here we are.
John, what is your vision of town? I don't have to tell you of the black eye it has received in recent years, and I know there are a lot of people working hard to try to change the narrative, especially collectively as we work towards the NFL draft and we want to be a showcase. Where do we stand right now dealing with people without homes and the crime you hear about in the city?
Well, you know, Larry, I have a little bit of a different perspective even on history. Do we have issues? Absolutely. But, you know, when you look at things in comparison to other downtowns, I think we're really doing well. I mean, think about this. There hasn't been a homicide in downtown in 2.5 years. We had our interns do research, and we couldn't find any other city our size or larger that can say the same. Now, I will say this. Sometimes perception is reality, and it's how you feel, and the stats don't matter. The statistics don't matter. So I think that we do need to do a little better job, a much better job at cleaning up the city, at working with the homeless people, because sometimes it could be safe, but it doesn't feel safe. And the other thing I would say, my biggest fear, and I know that the mayor's working on it, the incoming mayor's working on it, city council's working on it. I think the biggest challenge we have are vape shops. And they're selling a lot of drugs that are addictive, but are legal to sell in Pennsylvania. They're not legal in a lot of states, but they are here. So we need the state legislator to work with us, and they are. And I think that once that happens, you'll take a street like Liberty Avenue, and then we'll look at it as, oh my God, you know, this is opportunity here. I think you could look at it now and say there's opportunity here. We are working with, I think there's about 3 or 4 businesses that are very, very close to signing agreements to come down to on Liberty Avenue. And I think that's a great sign. So some people get division. Unfortunately, we need to do a lot more work to, you know, to get this together. And, you know, we accept the challenge, and our goal is to keep working towards it.
Well, the people that live downtown are really happy to hear this. They really need the convenience. We're with John Valentine, Downtown Neighbors Alliance president. They call it in the industry shrinkage, and that is theft, retail theft. That's one of the challenges that we hear about. Do they have a way to beef up security so that people can enjoy an experience like this and not have to worry about shoplifting?
That is a huge concern, and I can tell you that, you know, take the Target, for instance, that's downtown. The good news is Target is doing 60% more than what they estimated, and that's one of their highest overestimated stores in the country. But the downside is they do have a shoplifting problem, and what they do is jack up the prices on some of the other things to cover that as an expense. I wish I had an answer for that. And to be honest with you, I don't. But I think it may go down as we clean up the area. As we get people help that need help. As we get people that steal sometimes because of mental health or drug addiction issues. Do I know that for a fact? Nah, that's above my pay grade, to be honest with you. I don't know anybody that has a solution to all this.
It's certainly not. It is a issue with retail in general. When do you expect this new grocery store to be open?
Well, you know, there's a call center in there now, and they'll vacate in 90 days. And then we have to get the drawings and the permits and everything else that goes with it, and then construction. So it's our estimate is in a best case scenario, 9 months, but we really don't want to go any longer than 12. Some things are just out of our control, and the permitting process is a perfect example. But, you know, we're going to push for 9 months. And I think if we get it open by summer of 2026, the beginning of summer, I would call that a success.
Well, it's been a great challenge, and nobody's more passionate about our city than you. John, appreciate the time and good luck.
Thank you, Larry, and have a great day.
You got it. John Ballantyne, president of the Downtown Neighbors Alliance, and wish him well.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White news desk, the Steelers are moving in today at training camp. Aaron Rodgers says wearing black and gold is special.
Just to be a guy that can put on the same uniform is pretty special for me, and that's all I need this year. It's just to go out there, have a chance to compete.
So far, he's saying all the right things, and I'm sure fans will be excited to see number 8 on the field at St. Vincent College.
Black Sabbath lead singer and reality TV star Ozzy Osbourne died on Tuesday, just weeks after his farewell concert.
But this was this like, oh my goodness, it was like so shocking. I still can't believe it that he did that performance and now he's gone.
The voice of legendary concert promoter Rich Engler.
He was on with Rob Pratt last night talking about the loss of Osbourne.
Yeah, he apparently promoted somewhere around 15 of his shows, got to know him pretty well. They exchanged Christmas cards with Sharon every year and Rich's wife, Cindy. Yeah, he did get a chance to say goodbye to his fans, and so many other people don't. I think he really knew that was it.
And the on and off Pirates were on last night.
The Pirates collected 14 hits. 8 of them were doubles, a team record for PNC Park. Brian Reynolds and Key Brian Hayes each with a double. But Spencer Horowitz, O'Neill Cruz, and Tommy Pham each had a pair of doubles.
Voice of the Pirates, Greg Brown. And they have a chance to sweep the Tigers today.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, 12:35 first pitch. Our Odyssey team heading there.
Oh, that's right. Today's the day to go to the ballpark.
Yeah. What do they call that? Bonding. When you go with your colleagues to do something out of the office. Just don't get caught on Kiss Cam, anybody. Please.